Chapter 7. A Cause for Alarm. One Sunday, when Mr. Utterson was on his usual walk with Mr. Enfield, the two men walked by the sinister doorway and stopped to look at it. "Well," said Enfield, "that story's at an end at least. We shall never see more of Mr. Hyde."
"I hope not," said Utterson.
"Did I ever tell you that I once saw him and shared your feeling of repulsion?" "It was impossible to do the one without the other," returned Enfield. "And by the way, you must have thought me so foolish not to know that this was a back way to Dr. Jekyll's." "So you found out, did you?" said Utterson. "Let's step into the court and take a look at the windows. To tell you the truth, I am worried about poor Jekyll, and I feel like the presence of a friend might do him some good, even from outside." Mr. Utterson saw Dr. Jekyll sitting in the window and cried out to him,
"What, Jekyll? I trust you are better."
"I am very low, Utterson," replied the doctor. "Very low. It will not last long, thank God." The lawyer suggested that his problem was that he stayed indoors too much and invited him to come out and get some air and exercise with Mr. Enfield and him.
"You are very good," sighed the other. "I would like to very much, but no, it is quite impossible. I dare not. But indeed, I am very glad to see you. This is a great pleasure. I would ask you both up, but the place is really not fit."
"Why then," said the lawyer cheerfully, "the best thing we can do is to stay down here and continue to speak with you from where we are."
"That is just what I was about to suggest," returned the doctor with a smile. But the words were hardly out of his mouth before the smile was replaced by a look of terror and despair that they only saw for a second before the window was shut. However, that was enough. They turned and left the court without a word. The two men walked on in silence. Both were pale with horrified looks in their eyes. Some weeks later, Mr. Utterson was sitting by his fire one evening after dinner when he was surprised to receive a visit from Poole, who looked very much alarmed. Mr. Utterson offered him a seat and a glass of wine and encouraged him to tell him what the matter was. Poole revealed that the doctor had again locked himself up in the office, but this time it was worse. This time, Poole believed there had been foul play. He could not explain it, but he asked the doctor to follow him back to Dr. Jekyll's laboratory. When they arrived, Poole warned Mr. Utterson to be quiet and listen, as he wanted him to hear and not be heard. Then Poole knocked on the office door while Mr. Utterson listened.
"Mr. Utterson, sir, asking to see you," he called out. A voice answered from within.
"Tell him I cannot see anyone," it said.
"Thank you, sir," said Poole, and he led Utterson back to the kitchen.
"Sir," he said, looking Mr. Utterson in the eyes, "was that my master's voice?"
"It seems much changed," replied the lawyer, very pale, but returning look for look.
"Changed? Well, yes, I think so," said the butler. "I have worked in this house for 20 years, and I know my master's voice. That is not the voice of my master."
"No, sir, he has been made away with, 8 days ago to be precise. That's when we heard him cry out."
"This is a very strange tale, Poole," said Mr. Utterson, biting his finger.
"Suppose it is true and Dr. Jekyll has been, well, murdered. Why would the murderer stay? It doesn't make sense."
"Well, Mr. Utterson, you are a hard man to satisfy, but I'll do it yet," said Poole. "Whoever or whatever lives in that room has been crying night and day for some sort of medicine, and it has been going on for a week. The master used to sometimes write his orders on a sheet of paper and throw it on the stairs outside the office. But this past week we've had nothing but notes and a closed door. Meals were to be left by the door so he could take them in when no one was looking. Two or three times a day, I've received these notes with orders and complaints. I've been made to go to every drugstore in town, and every time I brought this stuff back, there would be another paper telling me to return it because it was not pure. The drug is wanted badly, sir." "Do you have any of these papers?" asked Mr. Utterson.
Poole felt in his pocket and gave him a note,
which the lawyer, bending nearer to the candle, carefully examined. This is what it said. Dr. Jekyll assures the gentleman that their last sample is not pure. In the year 18, Dr. Jekyll purchased a somewhat large quantity from their company, but is finding that the recent batch does not have the same effect. He now begs them to search carefully, and should any of the same quality be left, to send it immediately. For God's sake, find me some of the old. You're sure this is the doctor's handwriting? Resumed the lawyer. I thought it looked like it, said the butler rather sulkily, and then, with another voice, But what does that matter? He said. I've seen him. I came into the laboratory one day, and the office door was open. I looked around and saw him looking through some boxes. He had come out to look for this drug or whatever it is. When he saw me, he cried out and ran upstairs into the office. I only saw him for a moment, but it made my hair stand up. Sir, if that was my master, why did he wear a mask? If it was my master, why did he cry out like a rat and run from me?